We are grateful that we found peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For me, yesterday evening was a very special evening. I see that the Lord did a full work. Nothing was left out or remained. He accomplished everything and finished it. For this we are grateful. Today I will have to speak moderately because the many meetings exhausted me a little. Also with my voice. But we are of course not here to, by the proclamation, demonstrate power. We are here to give out the word which God may quicken in every heart by His Spirit, and there the manifestation of the power of God can take place. I don't know how many of you last night before the service have seen the two rainbows. It was something very mighty, especially the one. It went from one end of the heaven to the other, and so clear one could hardly see the seven colors as yesterday. And when then the second came to it, then the joy was great. God made a first covenant and He made the new covenant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This reminds me on a experience in Jericho. We had there our Jewish friend, Brother Goldner, with us. And you all know, until now, the veil is still upon their eyes, upon their hearts. And we have spoke about that, that in the New Testament comes to fulfillment what God has done in the Old. And He just made it clear to us earlier. He just has made it clear to us earlier that they have almost no rain there. How many days in a year? Around 30 days in a year, just at certain times, for my sakes, in December and January. And we were there. The sun was shining and the sky was clear. And what shall I tell you? And He was explaining at the fountain where Elisha has put the salt in it, and the fountain was made well. This He was explaining to us. And in the twinkling of an eye, the clouds arose. And you probably have seen it in a circular letter. Two mighty rainbows, but both were very clear. And I said, Brother Goldner, look here. The God of the Old Covenant is also the God of the New Covenant. And these might be small things for some, but for us, who we know God's Word, we know what the Lord has said. He has put this bow of the covenant into the clouds. And He said, I will not again destroy the earth. Now, we come to this day. This day is likewise a great day, a victory day, a day on which our Lord not only rose, but if we take it biblically, a day on which we rose with Him. According to the Holy Scripture, we were crucified with Christ. We were buried with Him by the baptism. We will come back to it later on. And we rose with Him unto a new life. As in Adam all die, So in Christ all are made alive. As death is on one hand a reality, so the life and the resurrection is on the other hand divine reality. And last night we looked at it, that the Lord conquered death and swallowed it up into victory. And now we can say together with Paul, death, where is thy sting? Hell, where is thy victory? Our Lord rose victoriously. Hallelujah. Praise be to him. And I think it's the hymn writer Paul Gerhardt who sings, Jesus lives, with him I live also. Death, where are your plagues? Yes, we live with him. Let us look at some scriptures now. Because I think if God's word speaks to us, then this is remaining and has a mighty impact. We ask, especially all, for those to whom the things are new, just believe them. Also for us, the proclamation of the full gospel after the apostolic pattern was earlier something new, something unknown. But we are grateful that we, without if and but, without interpretations, came back to the original word and with it to the original blessings. We start with the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. And I wished somebody would read this text. Mark, chapter 16, from verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Let us stop here for a moment. They were worried. Who will roll away that great stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they came to the place, that what they were worried about was already done, namely by an intervention of God. Let us take it today, very personally for us. That what you and I are worried about, and ask ourselves, how shall it be? How will it take place? The matter is too difficult, too great for us. Let us come there where the Lord is, and we will find out that what we were worried about is already accomplished and done. This is something very wonderful. It continues here. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were afraid. And he says unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Hallelujah. The tomb was empty. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Let me pick up on this word, the first resurrection. The hour and the day comes where the graves of those will open who sleep in Christ, and all those who waited for his return and who are still alive, they will be changed and be taken up into glory. If they will then look for us, the same answer comes. He, she is not here. They are no more here. Also we, one day, will be no more here. People will ring the bell and nobody opens. They will knock and the door will not open. The hour comes for us as it has come for the Lord. For without us, the matter of God is not completed. Let us please read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. Here we read likewise the first verses. Matthew 28. One should actually read the first 10 verses, but you all know the story which happened here and which was written down here. Perhaps we read here from verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Greetings. Let us stop here for a moment. Jesus came to meet them who loved him, who looked for him, who asked for him. He came to meet them. All who made an experience with the Lord, they can testify of the same. He came to meet you and to meet me. He spoke to you and to me. He has called us by our name, and we may belong to him. It continues here, and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So strange as it may be, but it were sisters who very early in the morning went there to look for their Lord and Master. In the first place, Mary Magdalene is mentioned, of whom the Lord cast out seven devils. This woman, who was badly tormented by the devil, she must have had such a thankfulness in her heart. She just wanted to be with the Lord and to thank Him. Let us read from Luke 24. You all know the four evangelists, they reported it in a very wonderful way. Luke 24, here we read just from verse 5. Luke 24 from verse 5. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Here we want to emphasize the sentence, Why seek ye the living among the dead? We have so much dead religion in our time, dead formalities, dead official acts, dead services. What do we seek, the living among the dead? The Lord has come so that we might have life and have it more abundantly, so that we have His life. Believe me, and with this we don't judge, but Christ, our Lord, the Living One, is not found in all these dead systems. He can only be there where people were born again by God, and by this crossed over into a new life. There he is found. But there is also not a cemetery, and therefore it is with us sometimes very lively here. If new people are added, then they expect a special service. But also this is a special service if we give our God the glory. A service doesn't mean to be silent. He who is quiet is quiet. Is this a service? Service consists of that, to hear God's word, to receive it, to believe it, to let it have an effect, and then to give the Lord the due thanks. The church of the living God is truly not a monastery with a silent order. Most certainly not, but rather a living organism. People whom God pardoned. And if we do not thank Him, who shall then bring Him the due thanks? What do you seek the living among the dead? Now I read from verse 10. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. No one of the apostles came. The women came to look after the Lord. Precious sisters, you have a wonderful place in the kingdom of God. Also, you have the right and the privilege, if you had an experience with Jesus, to tell others of it, what he means to you and what he has done on you. You are also not in a silent order. Only the place must be secured, but believers know precisely where they shall be silent and where they shall speak. Let us read from the Gospel of John. We know that John is looked at to be the favorite disciple of Jesus. I don't know whether the Lord has special darlings. It is being said like this: he was at the chest of the Lord. He always wanted to be close to the Lord. If you also want to be close, then you are also a darling of the Lord. Here, one doesn't have to be jealous. Who would not have liked to sit next to the Lord's chest? I'm very honest here. I would have pushed my way forward too. I wouldn't have been humble then. I would have liked to sit very close to the Lord. Beloved, let us today transfer it spiritually. Do we have the longing in us to be nigh to the Lord? A hymn writer sings, "Close to thee, close to thee, Savior, let me walk with thee." A longing, not only to be a disciple of Jesus, but to be close to him, to hear what he says, and to realize what he does. Here we read from John 20, from verse 11. John 20, from verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She says unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." She did not yet comprehend what has taken place, but now it comes. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. What a wonderful testimony. First, she was sad. They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. And she turns around and sees her Lord standing. Beloved, also we will have to turn sometimes around to see our Lord. Look by faith, and you will see him and experience the glory of God. He can still be found today. He can still be heard today. He is risen. He is alive. Now I read from verse 15. Jesus says unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, says unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus says unto her, Mary. She turned herself and says unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus says unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So far this word. Mary recognized the Lord at his voice. Here I want to make the bridge to John 10. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice. Oh, when the word of God comes to us, then we know that it is the Lord who speaks with us. Sometimes it is not the appearance, it is the voice, it is the word what matters. Therefore, we have in these days understood what it's all about. Not about interpretations about the word, not explanations of which there are books and books, but the original word as the original divine seed. And then also we can say, did not our hearts burn when he spoke with us? Should there be some in this service whose hearts do not yet burn, who were not yet spoken to? Oh, I ask you, in the name of the Lord, open your mouth and call upon him, and then the heart is open. People who do not speak out the name of the Lord by faith and who do not call upon him can never be saved. You cannot deal with God's matter in your heart. There it starts, but there it doesn't end. Man must believe with all his heart and then confess with his mouth. And the Holy Scripture says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This I guarantee everyone. If he says or calls out, Lord Jesus, save me, then Satan's ban is broken. And this must happen once. That's how it was with all of us. But if somebody thinks by himself, I deal with this matter by myself, I want to speak out here a direct warning. Don't do it. Make it up with God. And if you make it up with God, then you deal with it as he has said it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, in the heart we believe, and the cry of the heart comes forth from the mouth, and we call upon the name of the Lord. And already it happens. Please pay attention, for the day could come for some who have sat under the sound of the word of God, and God stretched forth to them the saving hand, but nothing broke up. They remained closed. And this may not be. All of us, we were not ashamed to call upon the name of the Lord. Why should you be ashamed who you have not done it yet? The Holy Scripture says, Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and your house shall be saved. The Lord says, Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will save you, and you shall praise me. If you feel that the trouble has come into your heart, and you recognize to be lost, and that you need salvation, then call upon the name of the Lord, and you will see it will take place. Let us now read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of the most powerful confirmations that people have seen the Lord after his resurrection. And I hope that there is not a man who is nearby who would like to say unto us that all these reports are not right. Such a man, may he depart from the presence of God, and may he depart from the presence of the believers. We believe the word of God from A to Z, from the beginning to the end. We even believe every comma and every full stop, because it's God's holy word. And the Lord has said it himself, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from it. And this we believe with all our hearts. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. When Paul wrote it, it was so. In the meantime, all these first witnesses fell asleep. But by the grace of God, also we are living witnesses, because we experience the Lord as the risen one. He could not have saved me at all if he had not risen. He could not have blessed, not healed. He couldn't have manifested himself at all if he had not risen. So, he is risen. May they who deny God, or the atheists, may they say what they like. We speak the language of God. We say that what was said to us in the Word of God. There are people who absolutely do not want to believe in a life after death. They let their bodies be burned, and they let their ashes be scattered, to thus wipe away any trace of their existence. Don't you worry. The man is of course not the body who is given up to earth. We dwell in a house. This is the body. And one day we leave this body behind and go then to the Lord. But when then the resurrection comes, all the people who ever lived, they will resurrect, whether they liked it or not. This God has said in his word, and that's how it will be. Now, there are people who have trouble with their intelligence, and God has nothing against natural cleverness, but it may not be in the way of faith. Natural intelligence and cleverness we want to use in every natural area as good as we can. But if it is about the spiritual area, about the area of faith, then we have to trust the Lord. Dear, we don't want with arguments, but with faith we want to face God and His Word. We read from the book of Acts, chapter 1, Acts 1, from verse 1 to 3. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He is not only risen, he made use of the 40 days to speak with his disciples about everything pertaining to the kingdom of God. What a privilege the disciples had then. But we have come to know what the Lord has spoken with them. We were not left in the dark, but got the counsel of God preached to us. It was written down in the Holy Scripture. Let us summarize it. And then we have to say something about water baptism. But let us summarize. Our Lord loved us. He redeemed us. He paid the price on Calvary. We could read many scriptures. Psalms 103 is the mighty announcement, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with mercy and with loving kindness. He has redeemed us. He pardoned us. He has forgiven guilt and blotted out all sin. As I already said in a sermon, man does not get lost because he sinned or because he was born in sin. Man gets lost if he doesn't believe that Jesus saved the sinners and pardoned us. What did Brother Branham say about this one case when the man was executed because he committed desertion? And the president wrote on some kind of paper to the mother or whoever it was, I pardon this man so and so. And then was the signature, I think, of Abraham Lincoln. And this slip of paper is brought to him into the prison cell. And the man just says, why do you mock me? If this paper would be from the president, then there would be a letterhead, then there would be a seal, then there would be this, then would be that. And he says, don't mock me. And what happened? The man whom the president pardoned was executed on the next day, although he was pardoned. And there was really a great court case at the Federal High Court of Justice of the USA. And the Supreme Judge gave the following declaration. A pardoning is not a pardoning if it is not received and accepted as a pardoning. What a grace God has given us, a gift of grace, but it must be received and accepted. also such people exist? Some think, yes, if the Pope would tell us these things. Others probably think, if a bishop would come, who would tell us these things? Since when does God use popes and cardinals? He took prophets and apostles, fishermen, publicans he took, farmers he used, people who believed what he has said to bring it to the people. He of course doesn't need people who spread unbelief. He needs people who sow faith, and this we want. We want to be people who believe with all their heart. And I want to say to you openly, I have no trouble to believe God. No, God is credible. Whoever does not believe him makes him a liar. That's how the Holy Scripture says it. And he says, I have redeemed you. I have called you by thy name. You are mine. Believe it today and claim it for you. Still two scriptures to this subject. One of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25. Just one verse, don't you worry. Also this service will find its end. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 25, verse 8. Here it states, he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Let us read almost the same text in the last book of the Bible, in the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 21. And here, from verse 2, Revelation 21, yes, maybe verse 3 is sufficient. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah. He will dwell among the people. Oh, if we could just set forth everything what God has prepared for us. Beloved, a glory is here for us. Everything God prepared, he invites to the great supper. He sends out his messengers so that the invitation is given. And we invite all, come to the supper of the Lord. Come to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Now, we will go over to the second part. We read from Matthew 28, the verses 18 and 20. Matthew 28, here it is written, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Why could he say this? He defeated everything. He has overcome it. He has risen, triumphing. How grateful we can be. Do you believe it? That all power was given to him? Today, here in our midst, he wants to manifest this power. And there is only the need of our faith and confidence towards him and towards his word. And already it happens. What in our eyes might be impossible, this is possible with him. The Lord says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is a great, a wonderful commission. Therefore, because to the Lord all power is given in heaven and on earth, therefore he sends out his disciples to carry his message, the message of salvation, of grace, the gospel of our salvation into all the world, and thus leading the people into the kingdom of God. We preach the word. The rest is between God and the people who have heard the word. We can put nobody into the kingdom of God. No, into the kingdom of God, one has to be born by the Spirit of God. As we were earthy, born into this world, so our Lord has said in the Gospel of John, in chapter 3, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Otherwise, you cannot see the kingdom of God. We must tell the people the plain truth. If now today a water baptism takes place, then it's for those who by the faith in Jesus Christ received their reconciliation and forgiveness. For people who received the word of God as the living seed into their hearts. Such people who have consecrated their lives to Christ, they may then be baptized. Baptism as such serves for the forgiveness of sins. Maybe I should make it very clear today. Not that the sins were forgiven through baptism. Absolutely not, and again not. The baptism is a confirmation that the candidate for baptism has received the forgiveness of sins by the faith in Jesus Christ. For thus it is written, only by the shedding of blood is forgiveness of sins. In all of the Old and New Testament it is so. Our Lord said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But the formulation in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is misunderstood by the people because they disregard the other scriptures. one has to take all the scriptures that belong to a subject. Forgiveness, reconciliation, grace, and salvation is by the shed blood of the Lamb. We could read many, many scriptures. We were not redeemed with corruptible things, with silver or gold, but by the precious, pure, holy blood of the Lamb of God. So, forgiveness through Calvary, reconciliation and salvation by the death on the cross of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Such who received and accepted this, they confess it before God and the people, that they now made a covenant of a good conscience with God. For this the baptism also means, the covenant of a good conscience with God. If you have received certainty under the preaching through the Spirit of God, that also your guilt and your sin was blotted out, and you can receive it by faith and say, Lord, today you have shown it to me and revealed it to me. Now I recognize that you also redeemed me, that you have also forgiven me, and my guilt you carried, and my sin you blotted out. Lord, today I receive and accept you by faith as my personal Redeemer, as my Savior. And I thank you that you have forgiven me and that you accepted me. Now I may be your own possession for time and for eternity. This the Spirit of God works in the hearts of them who under the preaching believe what God has said to them through His Word. They accept the offer of grace of our God. So go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples in all nations. How is this being done? Through violence? Through people? No. We preach and let God rule and reign as He likes. And the Holy Scripture says, God added daily such who should be saved. Also there is written, those who gladly received His word were baptized. Just briefly, I would like to still go into this thought that is set forth here, or the task which was given here in verse 19. Here it is about the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. God is our Father. Therefore we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, the same God revealed Himself in the Son. Emmanuel, God with us, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. So, the name of Jesus means Yahweh Savior, the name Emmanuel, God with us. In Jesus, our Savior, God was present to reconcile the world with Himself. If it is being said here now that in this name should be baptized, then we understand that Father in itself is not a name. How many fathers are today in our midst? Whom could one address as Father if the name is meant? With this it is testified who and what it is, but the name it is about, into which it shall be baptized, this name Peter spoke out, namely in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the sake of time, I would like to read some other scriptures. Acts chapter 8, here we read verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. A third scripture, Acts chapter 10, verse 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Just one more, namely, maybe even more. Acts 19, here it says, in verse 5 and 6, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We could now go to Romans 6. Let me read it. And then we will end with these scriptures. Romans chapter 6. Here it is written in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Baptism means a burial, and only those who died can be buried. So the people must have died to the world and to themselves, having left the broad way, entering the straight gate, and then step on the narrow way which leads to life. People who recognized that they were crucified with Christ, and who receive it now to be the truth for their personal life, and say, Lord, I believe that I was crucified with you, and that I died, so that from now on I no more live for myself, but that we can say, as Paul, what I live now in the flesh, this I live by faith of the Son of God. Then we don't do our will anymore, but the will of God. Who of you, who you would like to be baptized, can believe all this? In the redemption, in the reconciliation, forgiveness, grace, and salvation. Who can believe that we, in the eyes of God, were already in Christ when he was crucified? We have been crucified with him, and we were buried with him. We rose with him. And therefore, we also have the biblical baptism, a dead person is buried, he is not sprinkled with three hands full of earth, putting it on the forehead. He is just buried, as John in the River Jordan, baptized by immersing, and all the apostles baptized in the same way. So also we baptize by a single immersion, knowing by revelation of the Spirit that the name in which God revealed Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the New Testament, that this name is Lord Jesus Christ. As 3 times 3 equals 9, so the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is Lord Jesus Christ. In this way, all our brothers from the very beginning baptized, and Paul, who wrote the letters to the Romans, included himself and said, all of us, so he also, all of us who we were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Let us summarize this once again. Since last night, I have the impression that I could say, as Paul said it, I'm not guilty on the blood of one who would get lost, who in these days has heard the word of God. Nobody will be able to accuse me. You have heard the true, the pure, the precious word of God. Receive it, accept it. Believe me, it is the Spirit of God who beseeches through us, who begs through us. Be ye reconciled with God. Accept salvation. I don't get a commission, but I know one soul is more precious to God than the whole world. Our Lord said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You are people who are ordained for eternal life, and the Holy Scripture says it in Acts chapter 13, as many as were ordained for eternal life believed. Today, every ban can be broken, every riddle can be solved. The Lord said, the Spirit of God rests upon me to preach deliverance to the captives and to the bound ones that they are released, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. May the Spirit of God come upon the whole meeting and everyone be pulled away. For truly, God has spoken with us. And now He wants that we answer Him. Blessed be His holy name. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Let us sing together, Just As I Am.